Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, loved ones. What a wonderful and honorable privilege it is to be before the Most High God, Yahweh, in the name of His Son, Yahweh Shai, using the ancient Hebrew, but actually I should say in the name of Yah and His Son, Yeshua. The modern day Hebrew is such a beautiful occasion to be in Him and to acknowledge Him, and I am so grateful for the love, mercy, and grace that is to me and you all. I pray your strength in the Lord, of course, and that we be encouraged, that we be edified, that we be empowered in the things of Yah, you know. To the fellow brothers and sisters, the saints of Yah spread abroad, I say grace be unto you, and peace from God the Father and the Son, Yeshua the Messiah. In this day and time where we need all the help we can get, we need all the mercy and grace that Yah prevails. And I am so thankful and grateful for Yah that He has not returned and found us in our sin, found us when we weren't prepared and ready to meet Him in peace, but that He is prolonging the time. Nobody getting away with anything. You know, time is not an issue with Yah. You know, His judgment may be slow, but it is certain. 1,000 years is as a day to Him, and a day is as 1,000 years. Slow, but it is certain, because time is not an issue. So I say, while we had the time to examine ourselves, to reflect, to prove out our faith, to prove out our character, to prove out our walk in Yeshua the Messiah, by lining our lives up with the Scripture, and where we're off, make amends. Take advantage of the love and mercy and the grace of Yah for its intended purpose, which is to save our souls. It is not to enjoy the pleasures of this world. It is not to be servants of Satan. It is not to please the flesh and the eyes and the with regard to the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and it is not for the pride of life. This is not what the mercy and grace of Yah is for. He's prolonging the imminent destruction and judgment in order that we use this time to repent, to reflect in the way that we should go and be right with Him. So anybody of consciousness understands the significance of this and the importance, and let's take advantage of it. Yes, let's use it. Let's walk in perfection, meaning we're not perfect. Not to say that we're perfect, but we walk in perfection. A part of that perfection is coming to repentance, walking in the steps that Yeshua had already paved the way for us, that the apostles have already paved the way, and then it is written for us to follow. And as I stated, when we are off a bit, then we correct the error of our ways. We come to our senses. We break down the pride and those things that offend the body, that offend the faith. This is what we do. This is what the elect do. Many are called, but few are chosen. You know, salvation, though it has been made open to everyone, everybody is not going to obtain it. And that's frightening. But Yah has the elect. And there's a certain characteristic about the elect that keeps them separated and sanctified from all else. And part of that has to do with repentance, coming to the knowledge of Yeshua the Messiah and lining it up with our own lives and our character and conduct. And that's just what it is. So, grace and peace be multiplied to us in this day and time where we need Yah like never before, as we need Yah like ever before. There's never been a time, never will there ever be a time where He's not needed. You know, He is the essence of our being. So, in that, I want to continue Because last week I started on understanding the beast, and by way the Holy Spirit gave some understanding with the symbolism in Revelation 13 concerning this beast, because it's important for us to be able to identify our enemy if we're going to put up a fight. You can't be swinging in the wind, and you can't be guessing and things of this nature, or be blinded when you're in a ring boxing, when you're fighting. You have to know your opponent. You know, skilled fighters, they study their opponent, and then they study others that would help them to fight against the opponent. So what do I mean? You know, you study your enemy or your opponent, your adversary, to know his style of fighting, to know his MO, the character of his fighting style. But then you study those who have fought before you and how they fought, how they trained, how they perfected the art of fighting to be victorious. And so we have that. We study Satan. His MO never changed. The beast is the beast. You can't change it. No more than a leopard can change his spots. A tiger can change his stripes. It can't happen. But then we study those that we are, for lack of a better term, our mentors, you know, our leadership, you know, and being specific, we study Yeshua. We study the apostles and how they walk and how they dealt with the things that they dealt with, as the scripture record. We study the prophets. We study the saints that were before us and see how they managed through what was difficult times in their era. And since the enemy don't change, he only intensifies his attack, that the MO don't change, and so we don't need to change, meaning from faith to faith, from generation to generation, we just continue in the faith. And the more intense that the fight gets, the more faith that we call upon Yah to give us. But you don't change faith. You don't change the word or from the word to fight an enemy that has forever been fighting the same fight, waging against a war against the saints of Yah. And the way that he's been most effective is taking them from the word of Yah. And when you take them from the word of Yah, then you take them out of the area of faith. So we cannot win by changing Yah's word, and we cannot win by being faithless. We cannot win by setting aside what has already worked and receiving some new doctrine, some new tradition, some new commandments, and expect to win against a formidable enemy that he only changed faces, but he has not changed the spirit of how he's coming. And it's the spirit in how he's coming and waging his war. It's that spirit that we have to contend with. No matter the devices, no matter the persons, the places, the things, we got to go straight to the source, the spirit. And once you beat the spirit, nothing else matters. Everything else fall down. But nowadays, people want to recreate, or they want to rewrite. They want to do a whole nother doctrine, and it you know, it's quite sad. You know, it brought me to thinking how, you know, these days, and I made mention of this before, and I say it again, and, you know, I don't know why most Christians in these churches don't come together and agree on writing a new Bible, you know, and call it a newer testament or the newest testament. Because it's absolutely unbelievable the things that many churches and Christians are doing so openly, and not only Christians, even believers and Hebrew Israelites. It don't matter. Yah's no respected person. I'm not a respected person. But those that profess to know Yeshua the Messiah, whether they on one side or the other, Christians or Hebrew Israelites or whatever, but profess him as having died for their sins as the son of Yah. It is unbelievable what is being done openly and blatantly. and want people, true believers in particular, they want people to turn a blind eye and a deaf ear to by crying out, don't judge or stop judging. And the Bible that many supposedly go by condemns the conduct and the behavior, the way the churches are set up, the way the lifestyles are set up. It condemns the disorder and the sexual perversion. It condemns the spiritual gender reassignment as well as the fleshly gender reassignment. But, you know, women being pastors and women teaching or having leadership roles over men, the Bible condemns that in a church at least. In a secular world, it's under a different set of rules. That's not God's people. Yah is not dealing with them as he's dealing with his church. But the gender reassignment that is a reflection of the world gender reassignment in the flesh, it is happening in the church. The things that are happening in the world has crept into the churches. And as a matter of fact, when they come into the churches, they make ministers of Satan, and then they go back out into the world. And so now you have Christians that know the gospel, that have heard it, and they've come and they were taught this fundamental principle that Jesus died for their sins, that he is the Son of God, the fundamental. And then they go out into the world and get caught up in all kind of worldliness and all kind of acts and behaviors that is not in line with Yeshua's righteousness, not in line with the scripture, not in line with the word. And so then the love of money, the love of this world, and not to mention the worship of these vain holidays and these false doctrines and the lack of God's standard for holiness and righteousness, And righteousness. And if you see and know like I do, please pass the word on and tell these people to just write their own book for their religious belief, be it of Christianity and Hebrew Israelism. That's something I'm making up right now. Because the way they're living, they're making it harder for us that want to believe the Bible's way of life and Yah's best in our best interest with his instructions and how to live holy and godly and righteous to maintain the salvation that was obtained through Yeshua the Messiah. There are people like you and I that want to truly live the truth, and we don't want to live a lie. We don't want the appearance of the world upon our person. We want to be sanctified. We want to be set apart. We want to be strange to the world, that is. We don't want to befriend the world. So it's important for us to take in consideration the times that we're in, and this is why we're getting the understanding of the beast, the image of the beast, and understanding. There's no way that I can completely exhaust Revelation chapter 13. It's too expansive, and my finite mind cannot handle the infinite mind of Yeshua in just this chapter alone, let alone even a particular verse. But Yah's continually unfolding the truth for generation, and so the generation will not have to be behind Satan, but we can be at the forefront, and we can know and we can understand. Said it last week, and with all our getting, get understanding. You know, it's good to get knowledge. It's good to have wisdom, but with the wisdom and the knowledge, we must get an understanding lest we continue to be in ignorance and just have this gluttonous for knowledge, just to know it. So many people out there, they're just gluttonous in knowledge. They just want to know. They want to fascinate with knowledge and knowing, but they don't have the substance, meaning the understanding that is life-changing, that is humbling, if you will. This is what we want. So in Revelation, understanding the image of the beast, you know, just to recap, it was necessary for me to speak last week, revealing the beast and the seven heads and the 10 horns and 10 crowns. I told you in this day and time, the seven heads that's in Revelation, chapter 13, is relative to pride. It is these are the names of Satan. These are the attributes of Satan. You know, his names. And the seven heads is the pride. He's a liar. He's a murderer. He's a deceiver. He's an adversary. He's an accuser. He's an enemy. It sort of parallels with Daniel chapter 7, I believe I mentioned. In Daniel chapter 7, you know, it speaks about the 10 horns and the 10 crowns, but only one head. In our generation, the Holy Spirit has allowed me to go into the seven heads. And it's all interrelated. It's all governmental. It's all politics foreseen in the spiritual realm. Because no matter what, you cannot deny that Satan is a pride. He's a liar. You can't deny this attribute about the beast. The beast is a murderer. He's an adversary. He's an accuser. He's an enemy. So it's all interrelated. And we just understand it as Yah reveals it to us. So it was important for me to lay the foundation in that, which I did. And just to recap on that, you know, but Revelation 13, you know, I can't even begin to fully exhaust this. You know, they worship the dragon, they worship the beast. Yah let us know in his great authority and position that he has. And but then what I do want to go to, because that was just the first beast, I want to go to the second beast, because this is the most significant in our time. And this is what's going to help us to get an understanding of the image of the beast that is being promoted, that is being marketed, that is being advertised, so that we understand him, we can identify with him, and we can know to stay away from him and not receive of his character or receive anything from him. You know, in Revelation 13, in verse 11, and, well, I'll get to Revelation 13, verse 11. I'll get to that. Before I go into the image of the beast and get to Revelation 13, 11, and we talk about the image, I do want to give a definition of the image, that word image, give a definition, and so that we don't just think that it is a picture or photo or something of that nature. That is part of the definition, but it is not the fullness. And this definition of likeness from a biblical perspective will give us a clear understanding and a fullness than someone looking for a picture, you know, looking for a visible mark on the forehead and on the forehand. And if you don't see that mark on them, then they're not a recipient, or they haven't received of the image of the beast. That can be very deceiving. Or if you see, as technology is allowing them to put you know, microchips into the bodies of people now, into their hands and different things, and people are alarmed at this. And I won't say that doesn't have anything to do, as to suggest that it's not connected to the mark of the beast. It has some semblance to it, but it is not the essence of it, and we're missing the essence of it. So, in a strong concordance, image, the Greek word for image is icon. You know, it is icon. And that image is, it's a figure, it's a likeness. A likeness, for example, literally a statue, a profile, or figuratively, it is a representation, it is a resemblance, it is an image. And so in Webster, it says a reproduction or imitation of the form of a person or thing. Listen, image, a reproduction or imitation of the form of a person or thing, especially an imitation in solid form such as a statue. That's an image. But then this is striking too. In this other part of the definition, it says exact likeness. An image is an exact likeness. It is a semblance, a person strikingly like another person. So then we go back to icon, and icon is a person who is very successful, who is admired, widely known. These things we have to put a grasp onto when we are understanding the image of the beast. And for our time and a generation, when you think of celebrities, when you think of these famous people that are rich and famous, if you will, when you think of them and this beast speaking in regards to the media, making people rich and famous, people seeking fortune and fame. And we must know that all that glitters ain't gold. You know, celebrities and, quote, stars and their fans and followers by way of television, followers by way of social media and movies. And all these are tools to promote the image of the beast. And servants of Satan use these means to force Satan's agenda. It is promoting. It is marketing. It is advertising the image of the beast. And so what is the image of the beast other than a statue? And we do have statues, but that ain't it. Other than photos, we do have photos, but that is not it. But the image of the beast is the likeness, the semblance, the striking similarity, pervading the culture of America, and for that matter, in America, is an exporter of all that is satanic, that all that is ungodly and unrighteous. America is the chief exporter. This is a sanctuary for sinners. This is a sinful man's haven. America is a haven for sinners. It is hell's haven, if you will. And so everyone wants to come to America and be like America, as America in her dominion, power, and authority, unique from any other nation, is able to people conscious, is able to entice the flesh. It works on the three gates that Yah told us to keep closed. The lust of the flesh. Man, you can fulfill the lust of the flesh like nothing else in America. The lust of the eyes, the greed, the love of money, and the pride of life. We're going to get into these because these points that I'm going to make is the image of the beast. It is the likeness of the beast. And so when we have these conducts and behaviors, when we have these things going on, this is the image of the beast that is going unnoticed, is destroying souls. Talk about behaviors. Image of the beast. What's the likeness of the beast? What's his likeness? His behaviors. What is this beast like? Behaviors, sexual perversion from the highest level. This beast indulges sexual perversion. His likeness is sexual perversion. His likeness is unnaturalness. His likeness is immorality. His likeness is things that are abominable. This is the nature of the beast. And then when he put this imprint, when he gives people this doctrine and this spirit, then they living this way, their behavior and their conduct is conducive to this way. So you have political and religious leaders starting at the top, the most sexually perverted men on the planet. You know, they indulge in child pornography, adult pornography, pornography, raping of young boys and girls, homosexuality, adultery, and adultery, you know, divorce and remarry, infidelity, women cheating on husbands and vice versa, fornication, which is all sexual immorality. Fornication is not just shacking up or sex before marriage. As a matter of fact, biblically, sex constitutes marriage. But from a Christian perspective, you would think that is only with regard to shacking up, so-called shacking up, and sex before marriage. That's another doctrine, a strange doctrine. And it make people ignorant of Yah's word with respect to the whole of it. So homosexuality is fornication. You know, adultery is fornication, sexual immorality. It's fornication. Bestiality is sexual fornication. It's fornication. Pornography is fornication. Masturbation is fornication. But see, you don't know this if you just heed to the Christian doctrine. It is why it's imperative for us to take heed to Yah's word in this biblical doctrine, because that's the only way you're going to see the beast. Because the beast is going to put a mirage or a false image out there and a false doctrine that will cover himself from being seen. So you have this going on. This is the behavior. This it lines up what is going on in society, in the culture. This is the likeness of the beast. And the spirit of the people comes from the spirit of the beast. And his likeness, whatever is in this beast, he puts upon the people, and the people act it out. You know, this beast, offsprings, has a big imagination, great ideals. We're talking about the image or the likeness of the beast. His likeness have great ideals. America is a great ideal. This nation is a great ideal. But the reality is the greatest disappointment. You know, freedom for all, it sounds great. You know, the pursuit of happiness and justice for all and freedom and have certain inalienable rights. That's a great ideal. But that's the ideal of a beast, because it wants you to have all this greatness. It wants you to have all the promises of Yah that he has given to the saints that would come through Yeshua the Messiah when we are in our salvation. But the ideal of this beast say that we can establish this on this earth in the midst of sin and wretchedness and wickedness, and you don't have to have nothing to do with God. All you have to do is obey the laws of the land that I establish in my wicked midst, that I create or I establish form evil in the midst of a law. So the law can permit you to be a homosexual. The law can permit you to get into child pornography or pornography, period. The law can permit you to have a love for money. The law can permit you to be prideful. You know, this is the image of the beast. This is his likeness. See, this is what we focus on. We're focusing on conduct and behavior. This is where you're going to see the image of the beast in these behaviors and these conducts. You're not going to see the image of the beast in no symbol or no photo in and of itself. That would be a extension of that, but it is not the essence. So America is a great ideal, but it's the greatest disappointment, because you look in a land that is the wealthiest nation in the world, the most powerful nation in the world. Donald Trump said, make America great again, as if America has not already tasted of her greatness and didn't do well with it, didn't make the whole world sick or sicken. As if America, when she was in her greatest hour, did not abuse her authority, did not misuse it. Make her great again for what? Look at the condition of this nation. Look at the everything that is unlike God, everything that is ungodly, every imaginable evil, all the hatred, racism, and violence, selfishness, and pride. But you want to make it great for again? Insatiable appetite that you cannot get enough of the white privilege and white supremacy and white pride. There's no end to it. You have not even satisfied that appetite of the flesh, such that if it's possible, you want to even reach out into other places in the galaxies. An insatiable appetite to make it great again, as though it has not already established itself in this day and time to be the greatest nation that has ever been on the planet. And I don't mean that in a good way, because in this greatness, it has been the greatest in sin and debauchery. It has been the greatest in wickedness and evil. It has been the greatest in opposing and defying God Yah. We're talking about the image and the likeness of, or the likeness of the beast. So America is a great ideal. That's one of the points of the beast. He's an idealist. We begin to understand how America lines up with this beast. And they're synonymous. We begin to understand the beast being America. I told you last week that when the scripture recorded that John saw the beast rise out of the sea, he saw men from Europe traveling the Atlantic Ocean and coming to these United States, or coming to these Americas, to establish a United States of America. John seen that. That beast was foreseen, and it was to be what we know as America. And then when we get to Revelation 13, verse 11, and I don't want to get ahead of myself, but I want to stick into the likeness of this beast, that the image, keep in mind, is likeness. But John chapter 13, 11, it says, and I beheld another beast. I beheld another beast coming out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spoke as a dragon, and he exercised all the power of the first beast before him, and causes the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. And I told you that the deadly wound was the pride. When we begin to list the seven attributes, the characteristics, the name of Satan in the heads, what the pride, and we took it from Proverbs 6:16. See, the pride, he was a liar, he was a murderer, he was an adversary, he was an accuser, and he was an enemy. And then out of that Satan, out of that beast being that way, then the people under the beast, they're going to have a proud look. They're going to have a lying tongue. They're going to have hands that shed innocent blood. You know, they're going to a heart that devises wicked imaginations. This is why I said America is a great ideal. But the forefathers of this nation had a heart that devised wicked imaginations, because their imagination made them think that they can bring in and of themselves what Yah had promised to his people,
peace and prosperity and righteousness and holiness. They stole a page from the scripture when it says no more tears and no more pain and just being in the glory of Yah. And Satan stole that scripture. He stole that page, and he got into the thoughts and the hearts of men that they can recreate Yah's kingdom of heaven here on earth. They can make the kingdom of heaven here on earth absent the Holy Spirit. And they sought out to do this. And look at the end result as it has ever been unfolding to be a tragedy and a travesty to humanity and to the whole planet. Can't do nothing without Yah. You certainly can't enjoy the benefits of Yah and what he promised in a state of sin. Yeshua came to die for our sins, to take us out of our sins, and to put us in his holy kingdom, where flesh and blood cannot dwell in the kingdom. But then you want to have the kingdom of heaven in this earth in the flesh and blood, and then we get the issues of the flesh with regard to the violence and the sexual perversion and the lying and the disorder and the abominations, and get people to believe and think that it's okay, the likeness of the beast. And so he exercised all the power of the first beast before him and causes the earth and them that dwell therein to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed. So their pride has resurrected. When Satan was kicked out of heaven, that was a deadly wound. Fell headlong and hit his head into the earth. Headlong into the earth. That was a deadly wound. But then he was resurrected on the earth to wreak havoc on the earth. So that pride, that wound, that pride is that wound that was healed. And he sought to control the earth and to exercise the power in the earth that he couldn't exercise in heaven. And then it says, verse 13, and he doeth great wonders so that he make fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. I can't get into all of this, but I am going to go back to verse 13, verse 11, here in this 13th chapter of Revelation. And it says, another beast came out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb. That's important, because that established religion. See, when the beast traveled, was risen out of the seas, John foretold us of those men coming on the ships and another nation rising up to establish an even greater nation. But then when they arrived on, when he came up out of the earth, then it was the establishment of their religion on the land. It was the establishment of Christianity on the land. That is another, this is the beast coming out of the earth. And by him having two horns like a lamb, he is an imposter of the Lamb of Yah. Look what John said in the first chapter of John, verse 29. John chapter 1, verse 29. In John chapter 1, verse 29. You know, John seen the Messiah, and he says, and it says, the next day John seeth Yeshua coming unto him and saith, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Behold, the Lamb of God. So when you see that this beast coming and had two horns like a lamb, he is an imposter. He is the Antichrist. And he spoke as a dragon. He spoke with authority. He spoke with power, but it was not the speaking of the words of Yah, who is omnipotent. He didn't speak in the words of Yeshua the Messiah, but he spoke as a dragon, meaning that he was deceiving. He would say one thing, but another thing was in his heart. This is the likeness of the beast. So we have to understand this. And And he, as he spoke with a dragon, he exercised all his power as the first beast,
and he caused all the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast. How do you worship him? You worship him by your actions. Worship is a way of life. They are worshiping the beast in the way of life. A life that is perverted, you know, and so we get into it because we touched on it a little bit in the behaviors. You know, I spoke about the sexual perversion and homosexualities, and these are things that worship the beast, the divorces and the adulteries and the fornications, and then caught up in the ideal of America, in the exceptionalism of America, the certain pride with being in America, that when Americans go to other countries and nations, they have no respect for the people, no respect for the culture. It is why America is steadily on war mongering and destroying other cultures than to get them westernized, and then so paranoid because of the monster that she create, that she is. She's scared of her own shadow. She create this big monster. But at the same time, when she see the shadow of herself, that she gets paranoid and gets terribly frightened, and it makes her do more wicked because now she got to defend herself from what she has put on others. She don't want to come on her, the violence, the raping, the lies, the injustices, this big image that she is unto all the world. Affecting, ill affecting all the world, ill affecting the whole planet, animals, plants, the atmosphere, the everything that she is doing. And I'm going to be specific in this. Make no mistake about it. When I speak about America, I'm speaking about the Gentile Caucasian Christian people. And this goes for them in Europe. They're one and the same. Europe has done as much wickedness and evil. They've done it together. Why do you think all the nations of color are in such disarray and such violence and these nations that have these resources that the European nations are built upon and thrive in? But the European nations are together. They're serving the same cause. They're preserving their own culture, their own lineage. They're preserving themselves at the expense of people of color and people of other religions. So, yeah, they create a situation in the Middle East. And then they'll turn around and say they're going to help the people. You go and you hurt the people first, and then you help them. That's no different than a fireman going to start a fire, then come around and change into his fire outfit and go put the fire out. A cop going rob the bank, and then he goes and beat the law enforcement. This is the perversion of this beast, this enemy. And at the top of this is the Caucasian people, the Gentiles. It's the image of the beast, their likeness. What is their culture? Look into it. And let's see for ourselves. It is what it is. So also idolatry. This is the image of the beast, the likeness of the beast, idolatry. America is very idolatrous. You know, we had the flag and you had the cross. And then you say the Pledge of Allegiance and a national anthem, abominable idolatry. You know, and it goes into the voice of the dragon. It goes into the very characteristic of the dragon and the beast that the dragon gave power to. That was not only now out of the sea and established a nation, but now he is a political religious figure. He is a political religious figure, and so that in this nation, America, that now we have this United States government that is on the land, that has come out of the earth, from the sea, that has established itself, and its agenda now is promote everything that is not like God, everything that is in its own interest, everything that is of their father, the devil. He was a murderer and he was a liar. and they're promoting murder and they're promoting lies, whether it's character assassination, whether it's outright murder and bloodshed and violence and all these attributes that the seven heads represented, that this is what America is promoting more than any other nation, even her mother Europe. This beast here in America is far different and unique more than any other beast that has ever been. From the Babylonians, the Medes and the Persians, the Greeks, and even the ancient Roman Empire. This beast here is unique. My aunt turned me on to a message. What's his name? Some gentleman from Calvary Chapel has since passed away, but he was speaking, and he was talking about the Roman Empire. He was speaking out of the book of Philemon, Chuck Smith, and he was speaking about the Roman Empire. And if you didn't hear him make mention of the Roman Empire, you would have thought that he was talking about America, because he talked about slavery and how brutal it was and how heartless they were and how sadistic they was and how satanic they were in the mistreatment of slaves. You know, slaves had no right. They can do whatever they wanted to do to slaves. They kill them at will. Just had no regard for life with regard to the slaves in the Roman Empire. But what was most striking about that to me, that at no point did a connection be made in his conscience to say, hey, you know what, my fellow parishioners, me talking about Rome, don't that kind of sound familiar for what our nation here in America has done to the black people here, how we exercise such brutality, such inhumane treatment of a people? Don't you think that that is related? And it would seem to me that he would have then at that point called the people to attention and understand that, hey, this is why we need to repent as a nation for the brutality and the racism that we had against the people. But you know, this man never associated the two. He left it at Rome and he continued on in his message. And this is what I'm saying, that this beast and his workers, his servants, they are completely oblivious to their own action. They are oblivious to their own stench, their own stink, their own evil and wickedness. But they got a good eye and point it out at others. And this is going to condemn them. But idolatry, we don't, getting back to that, a cross. The saints of Yah don't get into images. We don't believe that there's any significance in a image or in some type of object made with men's hands. So most Christians just hold dear to that cross. They have an adoration, they have an affection to it, not knowing that that is part of the beast's imagery. It is part of his arsenal, if you will. It has to do with idolatry, the flag. I pledge allegiance to the flag. Listen to that. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, for which it stands, one nation under God. All lies. But how are you going to pledge allegiance to an inanimate object that did nothing for you, that didn't die for you, that did not live for you, that is the figment of another person's imagination, and you're going to pledge an allegiance? I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, which is a lie, because America has never been united. It has always been a divided nation. Look at the racism. Look at the mistreatment of its citizens as a whole. Look at the Democrats against the Republicans. Now, I know, don't get me wrong, I'm not ignorant of that. They have this separation to deceive the people. But the Democrats and Republicans, they pay from the same place. They pulling from the same pool. They're agents of Satan to keep the people divided, because there's power and strength in unity. And they don't want the type of civil war to happen sooner than later or they don't want it to happen at all. So they play on the emotions and they keep the people separated. It is a design of Satan. It's used against black people more effectively in keeping black people from coming together. But my point is, America has never been a nation united. Not when it professed Yeshua the Messiah. They didn't come over here and preach the unadulterated word of Yah to the Native Americans here and embrace them and love them and let them be a people that can live in peace and harmony. They came and they made spoils and they destroyed them. But I just say idolatry, you know, Easter, Christmas, even Thanksgiving, you know, is idolatrous. You know, you look at the symbolism that is associated with these vain holidays. It's very real. This is the likeness of the beast. When we engage into these things, we are worshiping the beast. This is the likeness of this beast, the image that has been used, the imagery. And these things that pulls at our heart, that opens up our sensory gates, our eyes and our ears, to compel us to give our heart to the beast and indulging in these things that are ungodly, having behaviors like this, you know, and then the likeness of the beast, and keep it going. The devil's twisted evil of being born again. His twisted evil of being born again, it goes back into sexual perversion. In his day and time, is being transgender. It wasn't enough that he had us born again into sin. God had us born out of sin. The devil got people born into sin again. And so now they want to perfect, and there's a doctrine that is pervading the land that is, I mean, it's astounding with people being able to change their gender. You were born a boy, a male. Now you can call yourself a female and change your birth certificate to say that you are a female. They got this going on in New York, and it won't be long before it's in the whole nation, if you will, to tell the truth. But this is the devil's twisted doctrine. This is his twisted ideology of being born again, mocking Yeshua's being born again. So people are born again, they're thrust into sin. They're living again. You know, you got people that are taking a new lease on life, you know, coming out of divorce, and they just they feel renewed in their spirit, coming out of this situation and that situation, but not coming out of it in the likeness of Yeshua the Messiah, coming in the likeness of the strength of this world, the image of the beast, the power of the beast. And so now they're born again, they renewed in life, and they got a clean slate, they believe in their mind. Now they can do what thy will, they can prosper, they can prosperous, all kind of stuff. They can be successful. They can be happy. They can be free. They can be independent. They have all these things in being born again, but they have no idea of who is giving them that strength and that power, who is giving them that courage to do this. And it wasn't from God Yah. Because in God, Yah, our suffering reaps a great reward for us in the kingdom to come. This is our down payment for what we go through in this world for Yeshua the Messiah's sake. The return and the reward is priceless. But people want to be in the image of the beast, the likeness of the beast, and don't do nothing for Yeshua's sake, but do it for the gratitude and satisfaction in this world. It's sad, but it's true. Satan is hateful. He despises man. The children of the devil is hateful as well. and we call them racist today. A racist is a hater. They hate God and they hate the people of God. And then out of from that, we get even gangsters want to call themselves gangsters. You know, they can be cops, neighbors, relatives. These hateful people come in all sizes, titles, and positions. But the chief among them is amongst the elite of the people, the Caucasian, the racist. The likeness of the beast. The likeness is the image. And then people are shameful yet shameless. People are shameful yet shameless. A generation that flaunts its sin and thumbs its nose at God is a generation that will welcome the Messiah. I'm going to tell you. A most rebellious generation will be the one that will see the Lord. They will meet their Creator face to face, and it won't be pleasant. They're so defiant, and media blitz that is happening desensitizes the people. The shock value of showing abominations is effective in the conditioning people to be more receptive of things that are unnatural and ungodly. This is satanic design, and it bombards the eye and the ear gate that I spoke about. And their conscience is seared. This is what the enemy, this is what the likeness of this beast is about. So, example, you know, many examples, but one out of the many, single women, they're proud to be with child and unmarried, divorced, independent, unvirtuous, half naked, nude, and then just the appetite we have for entertainment in the music and television, such that we have an ear for lewdness and using obscenities and being vulgar and being adulterous, and God hates adultery simply, and even when he said God, when he said he hates divorce or putting away is the divorce, and God said he hates putting away. The reason God hates putting away and hates divorce is because it causes adultery, and adultery is an abomination. This is why God hates putting away. You are forcing a soul into an abomination, adultery, and it's marrying and remarrying, and along with the other sexual immoralities and fornications, is a very essence of the culture of this nation and abroad. And so if one commits adultery, you may as well commit homosexuality, because both are death sentences with respect to sin. Divorce and remarriage is an acceptable norm in this culture. It pervades the society on par with the, or should I say it, that pervades this sex, this society on par with sexual perversion, a sodomy, pornography, and all other fornications. And so fornication is just not, as I said, a Christian shacking up. It is so much more than that. And then with men, they boast about how many women they have as players and pimps and sleeping with multiple women, unfaithful, uncommitted. The men now, the young men, they're sagging, they're behind showing, and they're exploiting women in perverse entertainment like strip clubs. This Gentile culture, this sort of stuff thrives. It thrives in a Gentile culture. Sin is big business. It's all the norm. It is natural, therefore, and there is no conviction as doing something wrong. Do we think that a lion is ashamed to kill, or a dog ashamed to eat his own vomit openly, mate, or any animal for that matter? No, they're not ashamed of that. A beast does what a beast is. And it's the same here with this nation. All these things that people are unashamed of. Look at social media. Look at the debauchery. Look at the things that people say, the entertainment, and they have no conscience. And many of them call themselves Christians. This is the likeness of the beast that is being forewarned. We ain't talking about no tattoo on your forehead, and we're getting to tattoos and all of these things. For my live streamers, until next time, may the Lord continue to richly bless us in his love, mercy, and grace until salvation above all else. We're not talking about just that. This is a lifestyle. Is influenced by Satan and the powers that be, the political figures and the religious figures that promote, that market Satan's agenda. Even tattoos, piercings, brandings, no honor of what's supposed to be the temple of God, the body. They don't honor that. They desecrate their own bodies. Christians do this. Yet they set up these churches, or they set up in these churches and give more significance to the appearance and value of soulless buildings than the body that housed their soul. Just imagine someone tagging and putting graffiti on the outside of a church building, desecrating a place of worship. That's a public scandal. Yet it is acceptable to desecrate one's body that is supposed to be the temple of God. That's acceptable. These are the things of the beast that we ought not accept, that Yah is telling us to be aware of, to be conscious, to be cognizant of, in order that we don't be deceived into thinking that we're saved, when in actuality we're damned. You know, and anger. It's another issue of the beast. Anger, rage, the fierceness of men. Men and women so easy to lose their temper. And I'm guilty of this. I have to check myself on this all the time. But this is the beast spirit. This is his behavior. Road rage is a real problem, for example. We have such a bad attitude in this nation. And I've noticed women driving very aggressive these days. People are extremely impatient, and that anger sparks a keg of other issues that are kept inside waiting to explode. The beast in his image is being exalted by the people that are under his spell. It's just as simple as this. It's the public that is forcing the agenda of the beast. People will turn on you for speaking out against their idols, against ungodly lifestyles and behaviors, against sin. The beast has agents. It is the people that promote, that market, and advertise all ungodliness. Most everything is being twisted and redefined to fit the way of life that the people want to live, to justify them. And truth is being despised, the biblical truth. I say it now, many Christians, their faith, their so-called faith, supersede the word of God. And what I mean by this is that if they can conceive it through traditions or commandments of men, then they believe it, no matter what the word of God says. This is both troubling and very dangerous, saints. The conduct and sexual, the behavior, the way a church is set up, the disorder. I mean, all of this is the imagery of the beast. And this is what we have to understand about his image. It is a way of life. It is a likeness that reflects him more than Yeshua the Messiah. And this was only just name it a few. But this beast, it is a way of life. It is his likeness. When you have a certain conduct and behavior, and it is like the conduct and behavior that is of him, that is the image of the beast. Don't go looking for no visible mark on a person's forehead or on their right hand. Look at the lifestyle. Look at the lifestyle. And in the lifestyle, you will see the image of the beast. They are reflecting their father, the devil, Satan. And it is a lifestyle that is contrary to what is written in the word of Yah. This is what it is, saints. It behooves us to understand this, and so that we know who the enemy is and we can put up a fight. Otherwise, you're going to befriend the enemy to the destruction of your soul. So I pray and hope that the Lord has blessed you with enough of this knowledge to continue moving forward and pressing to the mark that Yeshua has established, and so that we don't, by any stretch of the imagination, lose our soul salvation being ignorant of the enemy devices. Till next time, beloved, may the Lord continue to richly bless us in his love, mercy, and grace unto salvation above all else. Take care, loved ones.